to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show, my show, the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Great to be with you tonight, Saturday evening, October 15th. How could it not be great to be with you? I'm on the radio, going out across the country, and it's October. What a great time of year, not just because Halloween's right around the corner, as we talked about in the first hour, but because the weather is nice, it's beautiful outside, and right around the corner is Christmas. This is truly the best time of year, whether you're a talk radio host or otherwise. I happen to be a talk radio host, and it's great to be here. The Political Cesspool, AM 1380 WLRM Studios. I'm here tonight with you live, as always, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and streaming live online to a worldwide audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, I want to thank Keith Alexander, my friend and co-host, for his contributions to tonight's broadcast. During the first hour, I have a lot to talk to you about for the remainder of the show tonight. But first, I want to get to a gentleman who has been patiently waiting. He called in last week, called in during the first hour. I want to be sure to get to him right at the top of this hour. Tom in Maryland. Tom, thank you for hanging in there. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I wanted to. Well, what I'm about to say is a little hard for me to say, but the petition to the Russian president, initiated by Bob Whitaker,
right,
comes with a picture. That picture is real. That's from a story that came out of South Africa several years ago, where a group of South African blacks were to sexually assault the young girl. Most people look at her face and see how horrible it is. If you look beyond that to her eyes, you see something even worse. The little girl was with her grandmother. Her grandmother shielded her from most of the beating. I remember seeing her picture as well. She took such a beating that most Marines, where they put under that pressure, would tell anything they wanted them to. Her grandmother didn't survive. I can't say that signing the petition will make any difference in international politics, but I have, over the past months, taken the minute or two needed to do little things like signing it. And it has, over time, made a vast difference in me. We will continue to be taken advantage of and abused as a race until we learn to care for each other and act as a race. And if someone will just take the time to look at that little girl's eyes and say that they can't or won't sign it, it'll help them as much as anyone else.
Tom, I'm listening to you now. Of course, you know, we had somewhat of a jovial first hour. Your sobering comments now bring everything into sharp focus about what this show is all about when you get down to brass tacks. And you know, I did not know. I was not aware. I saw the picture and just assumed that to be, perhaps a replication of a young girl who had been beaten. Or
no, sir. That picture was taken out of a South African newspaper at the time.
Incredible. And I can only blame my own ignorance for not knowing that. We did put up this petition. Folks, if you don't know, it's 3 pages back now on the blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You go to our blog, you go back 3 pages. It's dated October 4th. My good friend and yours, former Reagan appointee Bob Whitaker put together this appeal to the Russian president for solidarity against white genocide. And it's a great petition. And to illustrate this petition, there was a picture of a young girl, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, obviously, as Tom is now mentioning, from South Africa. And you see her bloodied, beaten. And I was just assuming that to be, again, just something made up for illustrative purposes. But as Tom, our caller now, is telling me, this was a very real picture that was taken. This, as horrific as it is a perfect illustration of why everyone should sign this petition that Bob Whitaker has put into play. I know people are saying, well, if I sign a petition, people will have my name. I mean, God forbid. You know, here I am sacrificing very little compared to what this little girl had to pay. Here on the radio, I use my real name. I don't use a pseudonym, as a lot of people in this movement do. I use my real name. My God-given name is James Edwards, and that's what I go on the radio on. But even so, and as well-known as this show has become, and as as sullied as my name has become, if you base your reputation upon what the mainstream press presents you as, I have paid very, very little, in fact, nothing at all, compared to what this little girl has paid. Folks, the least you can do, and I mean this very sincerely, the least you can do is put your name on the line to this petition. I don't know what its chances of success are. But that's irrelevant. A 1% chance is good enough for me. Let's put our names on the line. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Go back to a blog entry dated October 4th. You'll see it talks about a petition, a Bob Whitaker petition, against white genocide to the Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev. Sign it. You'll see this. You'll see the picture that Tom is referring to. It needs and awaits your electronic signature. thepoliticalcesspool.org. Go there tonight. Tom, you know, I can't thank you enough for calling in tonight and really, man, I tell you, it certainly deflated me.
Picture has haunted me since I first seen it. And it wasn't until I had a chance to do something about it, even if so little, that I feel like some weight has been lifted off me. I believe the petition, I'm not sure, has the option that your name not be shown publicly, and that only the people it's sent to will be able to see your name and address. I'm not 100% sure on that. But
I'm looking at it right now, and you know, folks, it's pitiful. This has been up. We put it on our website. Our website receives tens of thousands of visits every week, and the radio show even more. And I'm looking at it right now, and despite the fact that we have publicized this, it only has 297 signatures as of today, and we publicized it 2 weeks ago. Tom, I want to thank you for your call. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the next segment, but thank you so much for bringing this back to our attention and to the attention of the audience. We've got to take a commercial break. Thank you again, Tom, for calling in. We'll talk more in a minute.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Once again, I want to thank Tom from Maryland, one of our listeners, for calling in and really, again, bringing into sharp focus the petition that we publicized a couple of weeks ago. You look at that picture, and again, little to my, you know, unbeknownst to me, did I know that that was a real picture. That was a real life picture of a little girl who had been brutally, I guess, sodomized, you know, by the indigenous population of South Africa. And you look at the number of people this show reaches, and then you look at that petition, and you see that only 297 people have signed, maybe out of fear because, you know, their name would be associated with the petition. Folks, we got to sacrifice a little bit more than that if we're going to turn this thing around. And I would encourage you to do so. Again, thank you, Tom, for bringing that back to the forefront of the discussion tonight on the radio program. We did talk about that a couple of weeks ago when we originally promoted the petition initiated by Bob Whitaker, but it's there for you to sign. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. You'll have to go back a couple of pages on the blog roll, but there you will find, dated October 4th, a petition to the Russian president to help put an end to white genocide, and there you'll see the face of this picture of this petition, a picture that is all too real, as we just learned. And thank you, Tom, again, for bringing that to our attention. And, you know, I was thinking about the reach that this show has. And, you know, our birthday is coming up very soon. October 26th, 2004 was my first night on the air, the first night on the air of the Political Cesspool Radio program. Of course, I'm not just the host of this show. I'm the founder of it. It was my concept to do this. I wasn't hired by a network to host a show. I created the show. And the first night on the air was 2004, October 26th, nearly 7 years ago now. And we'll be going into our eighth year of production after October 26th of this year. And so much has happened since 2004 in terms of the evolution of this program. And as I'll write about tomorrow on the blog, thepoliticalcesspool.org, back in 2004 I had hair. My God, so much has changed in the last 7 years. I lost what was left of my hair. It was already thinning, you know, male pattern baldness. They say too much testosterone does that to a man. But it was already thinning when the show started. But between 2004 and 2006, it was all gone. And that was, of course, the two-year span during which I created the show and got married. I'm not going to say which one caused me to lose the hair, if it was the stress of the radio show or the obligations of marriage, but between the two of them, it's all gone now, God knows. But anyway, life has been kind to me, and I've got so many stories I can tell just from doing this radio show alone. And I was thinking, and this goes back to the petition that we were talking about, and I don't mean to make light after such a heavy subject, but this show, I actually was on YouTube the other day, and I put it up today on the website. If you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org right now, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and you look at the promotional blog entry that's at the top of the website right now that talks about tonight's program and what we'll be talking about, you'll find there included a video of a YouTube video of one of my appearances on CNN. And this was something that wasn't put up by me or the radio station. It was put up by just a random person who was promoting my appearance. They saw it. They liked it. They put it on YouTube. 100,000 people have watched that one video. 100,000 people have watched that one video of me on CNN on YouTube. 100,000. Of course, that's just a drop in the bucket to the number of people who saw me on CNN that night when it was live. And of course, I've been on CNN a number of times. Not just once, but many times. When you think about it, 100,000 people seeing it after the fact on YouTube, in addition to the number of people who saw it live, and in addition to the number of people who saw my other appearances on YouTube, in addition to the number of people who have tuned into my show over a seven-year span, it is not an exaggeration in the least to say that my message and the message of this radio program has literally reached millions of people over the course of the last 7 years as a result of our work on the radio, as a result of my book, my television appearances, public speeches, and countless interviews in newspapers and magazines. It is no exaggeration to say that we've reached millions of people. And folks, we do it all on a budget so thin that, you know, our annual budget here to put this show on the air, as big as we are, and as much news and headlines as you create, as we create, thanks to your support, you would think that we would have to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year would have to pour into this show to help us reach that many people. You look at the number of people we're reaching and you think, my man, they must be, you know, it must be a multi-million dollar operation here at the Political Cesspool. Well, it's not. You know, we don't take in as much money through donations as, you know, the amount of money we take in each year in donations wouldn't be the average income for a single American person, man or woman. I'm very thankful for the amount of money we take in. You know, we can run this show and reach those millions of people that we do reach on less than, you know, $30,000 a year. Folks, that's nothing for a nationally syndicated radio program. That's nothing for a show that continues to generate interest from CNN and from Newsweek and Entertainment Tonight and all of these newspapers, the LA Times, the New York Times, the London Times. You know, we do it all for less than $30,000 a year. That's how far we can stretch your contributions. You know, we are sustained by the listeners that we have. We have no big commercial advertisers. We are sustained by you, ladies and gentlemen, the people listening to this show right now. And the average donation we receive is certainly less than $100 a person. And through that, we are able to do so much. I paint this verbal picture just to accentuate the point that you are valued. The support that you show this program is instrumental in us reaching millions of people, literally millions of people. Your $25 donation, you might think, okay, I'm going to donate $25. What am I getting in return? Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's what you're getting in return. Look at me facing off on national television time and time again, going out to a nationally syndicated audience every Saturday night. That's what you're getting in return. And folks, we need your help. We need your help. We have quarterly fundraising drives, and I know we just wrapped one up in September. We need your help every week to continue this show. It costs money to produce this show. You can support us tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Make a safe and secure online contribution. We need your support. We encourage you to do so at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Make a credit card contribution tonight. And folks, sign that petition. We reached too many people for only 297 people to have signed this petition. Don't do it all tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. When I come back, we'll change the subject and talk about much more. Stay tuned.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Big girls don't cry.
Big girls don't cry. You know, if you ever get a chance to see Frankie Valli live in concert, you should take advantage of the opportunity, as I always do. I'm 31 years old. I wasn't even born, wasn't even close to being born when Frankie Valli was recording his first number one hit back in 1962. But I'll tell you this, if he comes within 1,000 miles of Memphis, I'm there. You should be too. 77 years old, but still rocking out. Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Timeless music. You know, I take the time to normally on Saturday and Sunday, it's slightly less traffic on our website because it's a weekend and our people are normal people, good people, working people, family people who are occupied on the weekends a little bit more than they are during the weekdays and doing family times and things like that. So I like to keep it light on the website during the Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is typically just a one blog post promotion of the evening show. And then on Sunday, I might run a Pat Buchanan column and maybe a couple of other lighter things. And I like to run some songs on Sundays. And I'll be doing the same tomorrow. And I would encourage you to take a look at it. I like to share the music that I love with my fans at thepoliticalcesspool.org every Sunday. Tomorrow it's going to be a little bit comical, but it'll be there for you. And also, I'll be sharing with you tomorrow a clip from yet another one of my CNN appearances when I was discussing America's changing face. Again, every now and then I'll revisit some of those classic CNN appearances that I've made and share them with you on the website, because we can't take for granted the fact that new people come to know this show each and every week. You know, we didn't plateau at any given point. More people come to know the work of the Political Cesspool Radio program every Saturday night. And for their benefit, as well as those of you, our long-term fans, I like to post, you know, once or twice a year, some of the YouTube footage of my CNN appearances. If you go there tonight to the website, you'll see, I think I'm talking about the Knoxville murders, black-on-white murders I'm talking about. My counterpart is an NAACP representative. That's on the website tonight. I encourage you to take a look at it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Tomorrow morning, you go there and you'll see a song and another video clip of me on CNN talking about the population of minorities in this country surging and what I think about that. Again, said not in the privacy of my own home, but on CNN, no less, in front of a global audience numbering in the millions. It'll be there for you in the morning at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Encourage you to take a look. And talking about people who continue to come to know our show each and every week from all around the world, this email came in a few days ago. It says, "Hi, James. My name is Tim. I'm 31 years old, and wouldn't you know it, that's the same age as me. And I live in Sydney, Australia." He writes that he listens to the Political Cesspool each week and checks the website every day, as you should too, ladies and gentlemen. You and the team are doing a great job. Keep up the good work, and God bless. Well, God bless you, Tim, from Sydney, Australia. And, you know, folks, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to write me and share your thoughts about our work here on the program. You know, people from Sydney, Australia tuning in, that is absolutely incredible. Another gentleman tuned in for the first time this week. And he writes this: "James, I just discovered your show. Your article commenting upon Columbus Day, the importance of Columbus Day, was for me one of the clearest and most engaging defenses which I have read in far too long." And he goes on to talk about his past and his history and wishes me and my family safety from those people who detest my courage, and he encouraged me to be well and keep up the great fight. A new fan and follower, his name is Steve. Steve, God bless you. God bless everyone tuning in tonight to the show. It's such a pleasure and a privilege to have you in my audience. And Steve, as I just found out, was the most recent person to buy a copy of my book, Racism Schmacism, which is also for sale tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Steve, thank you for your purchase. Look forward to a member of my team getting that out to you. Email me back when you get the book. Let me know what you think about it. So Steve, again, one of the newest listeners to the Political Cesspool. We continue to reach new people each and every week. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what your support makes possible at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Let's talk about Columbus Day, shall we? The importance of Columbus Day. It is a holiday that has suffered in importance in recent years, at least in the eyes of modern American culture. Why? Well, because Columbus Day celebrates Christopher Columbus, the first European person to come to the Western Hemisphere and make the presence permanent. Columbus Day, in other words, celebrates the advent of the white race in the so-called New World. This, of course, is the last thing that the multicultural left wants celebrated. Their guiding principle, invented both by Trotsky and the cultural Marxists at approximately the exact same time, is best summed up by the late, unlamented Susan Sontag's famous quote, "The white race is the cancer of human history." Who wants to celebrate cancer? Consequently, Columbus Day has been transformed from a holiday into an occasion for weeping, wailing, rendering of garments, and gnashing of teeth by the left. But we, here at the Political Cesspool Radio Program, however, beg to differ and think that it's high time to challenge this modern orthodoxy regarding Columbus and Columbus Day. Consider, if you will, the Western Hemisphere when Columbus discovered it in 1492. The entire continent is estimated to have sustained only a few hundred thousand people. It was basically a huge, underdeveloped wildlife preserve. Its population stuck, for the most part, in the Stone Age. And despite what the left would have you believe, it was not populated by peace-loving early environmentalists. The indigenous inhabitants were bloodthirsty savages living in a state of nature in which life, as Hobbes famously noted, was brutish, nasty, and short. The highest level of civilization achieved in the hemisphere by the indigenous was that of the Aztecs, who were famous for capturing young men from neighboring tribes for ritual sacrifice and ripping their still-beating hearts from their chests. Where whites have gone and remained in control, civilization and prosperity has flourished, not only in North America, but all over the world. The only time any nations in sub-Saharan Africa have flourished by modern standards was under white rule. Rhodesia was once called the breadbasket of Africa. Well, it became Zimbabwe, which is the basket case of Africa, when whites were guilt-tripped into turning over the reins of government to blacks, the indigenous population of the region. The primary beneficiaries of white rule are the non-whites that live in white-dominated countries. Blacks, for instance, whipped into an inconsolable frenzy by the left regarding their imagined mistreatment by whites, are the only oppressed people in the world who consider themselves impoverished, but routinely own and use cars, cell phones, computers, iPads, flat-screen TVs, washing machines, clothes dryers, and dishwashers, and live in centrally air-conditioned homes with yards, driveways, and carports. They are also provided enough free food by the government, at our taxpayer expense, I might add, that they suffer, when left to their own devices, from morbid obesity. They apparently don't travel abroad much, because if they did, they'd see how favorably their imagined poverty status stacks up to the real poverty suffered by people in El Salvador, Honduras, Peru, Nigeria, Cambodia, or almost any other country without a sizable white population in charge of the government. In fact, the only way that non-whites live in a first-world environment is when they are fortunate enough to live in a predominantly white nation. When they reach critical mass or gain political control, that nation assuredly plummets to third-world status. Places in America that resemble the third world, places like Detroit and East St. Louis, almost always have a predominantly non-white population coupled with a non-white political leadership. The most fortunate day in the ancestral history of any American, regardless of race, color, or creed, is the day when one of their ancestors boarded a conveyance to America. This is true whether the conveyance was a luxury ocean liner, a jet airplane, or yes, a leaky slave ship. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk to you more about Columbus Day right after this. We'll be right back.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Folks, we're talking about Columbus Day and the importance of Columbus Day. It truly should be, and I know I was talking earlier tonight about as a child, my favorite holiday was Halloween. Now as an adult, my favorite holiday is Christmas. You can't beat Christmas. But besides that, the most important day in the year for us should be Columbus Day. And all that he accomplished, the spirit of discovery that was born in our people. You know, the reason America still attracts immigrants from all over the world is because America is a white nation because of the exploration of Columbus and those who came after him. Whites are the key to that prosperity. If the non-whites of the world knew what was good for them, they would nurture and protect white people like a hothouse flower. America is at a crossroads, however. Rather than a hothouse flower, white people are an endangered species in today's world, with their numbers and percentage of the population diminishing each year. Like many another endangered species, we stop reproducing when our nesting grounds are disturbed. In America, this disruption occurred when public schools were racially integrated undemocratically by court decree, beginning with the infamous Brown versus Topeka Board of Education Supreme Court decision in 1954. That was the beginning of the end. And rather than throw their children into the veritable black hole of Calcutta that many public schools have become due to Brown and its progeny, many whites simply limited the number of children they had to the number of children that they could afford to send to private school. Don't ever imagine that that result was a coincidence. That's why we, here at the Political Cesspool Radio Program, constantly remind our audience that liberalism is the modern face of evil. And this includes every aspect and project of modern liberalism, including the sacrosanct civil rights movement. Today, more than ever, we all need to ponder the significance of Columbus Day, the significance of Christopher Columbus, and impress upon our friends, neighbors, and children of its importance. Columbus Day truly should rank as the most important and celebrated holidays of the year. Men like Columbus didn't endure sufferings, danger, and even death so we could, like Esau, trade our inheritance for a mess of liberal, multicultural pottage. And we invite everyone in our audience to make Columbus Day the true occasion for celebration and remembrance that it is. Folks, I would have shared that message with you on Monday if I'd had a podium. Of course, we're a weekly show. We air every Saturday night. So I didn't have an opportunity to address you on Monday. But by God, I'm doing it now. And I want you to remember that next year on Columbus Day and every Columbus Day that you live to see henceforth. And if you enjoyed that commentary, I encourage you to read it for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org, of course. Thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can find my article entitled The Importance of Columbus Day, and I even included a little scene from Mel Gibson's great movie Apocalypto at the very end. It documents the Spanish arrival. What a triumphant scene it is, ladies and gentlemen. Go take a look for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And if you enjoyed the article, again, I ask you to consider making a Columbus Day gift, if you will, to our radio program, which you can do online, safely and securely, via our credit card processor at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But while we're talking about Columbus, why stop now? Let's talk a little bit more about Christopher Columbus, the man that he was. We talked about the importance of his holiday, but who was he? Well, Christopher Columbus, of course, was an explorer and a businessman from Genoa, which is now part of modern Italy. Columbus believed that by sailing due west from Europe, he could reach the eastern shores of Asia and thus establish a valuable route of knowledge and trade. Columbus managed to convince the king and queen of Spain of his vision, and in 1492, they funded an exploratory voyage of three ships the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Of course, Columbus did not reach Asia. Instead, he reached this continent, our continent, the New World. Columbus set off a chain of events that led to the largest migration of people and culture in history. The colonization of the Americas by the Spanish, the Portuguese, the French, the Dutch, the Germans, and of course, the English. While later research showed that Columbus was not the first European to reach the New World, he did rediscover it, the forgotten knowledge of its existence. And were it not for his vision, there may have been no United States, no Canada, or any of the Latin American countries. For this reason, his voyage has been celebrated in the United States of America since at least 1792. Leif Erikson, you know, Columbus Day in Minnesota is also celebrated as Leif Erikson Day. Leif Erikson, of course, was a Norse explorer from modern-day Norway, a convert to Christianity. Leif Erikson is credited as establishing the first known European settlement in the Americas, circa AD 1000 to almost, which was almost 500 years before Columbus made his first voyage. Leif Erikson and his followers managed to reach modern-day Canada and establish a small farming settlement. While prosperous for a short time, the settlement was abandoned after a generation or so, possibly due to conflict with the people already there, the ancestors of the modern-day Eskimos. But just as Columbus is sometimes used as a celebration of Italian heritage and European heritage, many people of Norwegian descent look to Leif Erikson Day as a celebration of their own unique Scandinavian heritage. And just as the voyage of Leif Erikson was forgotten for many years and rediscovered, who knows what new discoveries will be made about early Western exploration of the Americas. Both of these men, Leif Erikson and Christopher Columbus, were bold visionaries, and we would like to celebrate their contributions to our history and heritage. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is something that makes our people so unique. This is why multiculturalism can never work. Not everyone shares the same history, heritage, and yes, heroes. Christopher Columbus will never be their hero. Leif Erikson and the Vikings will never be their heroes. They are our heroes, and they can only be our heroes. No one else will ever resurrect a monument to Leif Erikson or Christopher Columbus. No one else, no non-white, will ever get on a nationally syndicated radio program and talk about the importance and the sacrifice of Christopher Columbus. They are our heroes, and it is up to us to protect and preserve their dignity and honor. That's why I celebrate Columbus Day, Leif Erikson Day. Ladies and gentlemen, you should celebrate it too. And again, I say, and I'm getting into the spirit of it all, just talking to you about it now, holding court, giving you this monologue. I wish I could have done it on Monday, the actual day. But I'm doing it now, and that's the best I could do. But the importance of Columbus, the importance of Leif Erikson and all of our heroes is something that should be celebrated not just on Columbus Day, but yes, indeed, every day. And what other radio program is going to give you that sort of commentary other than this one? Folks, that's why you tune in. And the only thing you hear about Columbus is, oh my God, he subjected Christianity on the heathens that were ripping out each other's hearts. He committed genocide against the people. Well, what really happened, you know, liberals in their media give virtually no credit to the Spanish for bringing Christianity to the New World. Every place the Spaniards went, they stopped human sacrifices, cannibalism, and other brutal practices of the natives. Apparently, liberals consider this to be a negative. The self-righteous liberals only seem to value the things like gay sex and smoking pot, but saving someone's soul apparently doesn't count as the most important accomplishment that could ever be done in the liberal worldview. And another thing you'll never know about Columbus is that he left 39 men behind at Fort Christmas when he founded the settlement of La Navidad in Hispaniola, present-day Haiti. The Indians there slaughtered all of them. They killed all of them. All of them were genocided by the Indians. Just about every liberal-made TV documentary assumes that the 39 Spanish left behind were mistreating the Indians. If you were heavily outnumbered and left behind, would you risk antagonizing the indigenous population? We should not join the liberals and immediately assume that the whites were the guilty party here. The only crime that we know of for certain in the earliest encounter with the New World was committed by the Indians against the Spanish, and it was mass murder. Columbus deserves to be remembered and honored for being the greatest explorer of all time and for beginning the European settlement of America that led to the creation of the United States.
Believe it or not.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got to take a break. I'll be back with you at the top of the third hour. Stay tuned. The Political Cesspool continues after these words.